Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to get every single one of you to get your Bibles, your notebooks, your pens, as we get into the Word of the Lord. This is also a great time for you to quickly again go onto Facebook. If you're not there now, if you're watching on television, to go to the myfaith.tv Facebook page, and I want you right there to click on this link that you will see, this broadcast, this feed, and I want you to click on that share button. As you share it to your wall, tag 10 friends and say, listen, I need you to watch this. Remember, right after this broadcast, it will be available on replay. So even if it is that you might have missed something, you can watch it again. But I want you right now to share this broadcast. All of our Facebook ambassadors, I'm wanting you to share this broadcast. For the word of the Lord is about to go forth with power. The word of the Lord is like a two-edged sword that cuts through the divide of religion and tradition, anything that has held you back. By the end of this day, by the end of this broadcast, you will be jumping, you will be getting excited, because you will know that this is the day that I have been set free. Amen. So Pastor Ron already spoke on covenant. Today's title is Living in Covenant. So since he's laid such a beautiful foundation, I'm not going to go into all the definitions of what a covenant is, as he presented it in such an amazing manner. So I want us to skip that first step and go right into how do we then appropriate God's covenant promises. You see, God's covenant includes promises. There are certain promises when you enter into covenant with God. And one of our desires, you can say it's the vision of this ministry, is to see every single one of you as our partners enter into the fullness of God's covenant promises and prosperity. You see, we want nothing more than for you to receive revelation from the Word of God. That means when that light bulb goes on, when you are finally able to see what you have not seen before, when you have an understanding of what covenant really means and how you function within the covenant of God. So how do you appropriate God's covenant promises? The simple answer is by faith. But what exactly does that mean? Three steps quickly. Number one, when we say by faith, it means, number one, getting into the Word of God. You need to get into this Word for yourself. You get into the Word. What does that mean? You study it. You meditate upon it. It's not about just connecting with a broadcast such as this once a week. That's just not enough. Yes, it's helpful. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It helps, absolutely. But you need to get into the Word of God for yourself. That's number one. Number two is then speaking the Word. You read the Word and then you begin to speak the Word. And then number three, you act upon the Word. It is not just reading or studying the Word. You can be the greatest theologian, know everything there is to know about God, but you have to go and speak the word. When you encounter an obstacle, when you encounter a mountain, Jesus said, you speak to the mountain. You do not speak to God about the mountain. God said, speak to your mountain. Then number three, it's putting your faith into action. The book of Peter says, Peter writes, he says, prepare your minds for action. The kingdom of God consists not of talk, but demonstrating the power of God. How do you do that? By putting your faith into action. It's one thing to simply read the word. Yes, the second step is speaking the word. But if you just read the word and speak the word, you also need to get to that third step, which is putting your faith into action. Engaging, acting upon that which you have spoken. In the natural, people sometimes say that talk is cheap. Many people can say all kinds of things. But when you are faced with a situation, will you now speak to it? Will you now engage that thing by faith? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, I want to read this to you. God speaks very clearly to Joshua and starts by saying to him from verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land which I swore to your ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 8, keep this book of the law, which is the first five books of the Bible. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Can you see right there in that one verse, we find all three of those steps. Reading the word, or then meditating upon the word, speaking the word, and doing the word. All three of those things in that one verse. Then you will be prosperous and you will have good success. You see, when you follow all three of those steps, when you do all three of those things, the Bible promises that God will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that is why you need to get the word of God on the inside of you. Every time Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he responded saying, it is written. But if you do not have the word on the inside of you, all you're going to do is you're just going to blow bubbles. You would want to say something in that situation, but because there is nothing on the inside, you are void of the language of faith. There's no words to make up the language of faith. You need to carry the word on the inside of you. Jesus did not say, you know what, I know it is sort of, maybe it's written somewhere. Let me go and consult the word. The word is not something we run to in time of crisis. You need to study the word and meditate upon it day and night. To speak the word. And then, when it's necessary, when you see a situation that now requires you to engage your faith, you launch out in faith, because faith is already on the inside of you. This is what happens when you tune into a broadcast such as this. You will feel that there's something on the inside of you that begins to rise up. There's some people that might already say, you know what, I cannot sit any longer and just listen. I have to stand up because something is about to happen. I feel moved that something is about to happen. Come on, am I speaking to someone? Have you ever gone to a rugby game? Maybe in America it's football. But I know in South Africa, you can go to any rugby stadium. Everyone sits down. But boy, if there is a line break and that guy is about to score a try, everyone in the stadium begins to stand up. If you sit down, you're not going to see anything. So everyone stands. Everyone stands in anticipation of what's about to happen. You see, you cannot just sit idly, just listen to it. You have to engage your faith. You have to listen attentively, meditate upon the word of God, to speak the word of God, and then to launch out in faith in the name of Jesus. In Romans 4, verse 20 to 21, how I love this. It says that Abraham was strong in faith. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised that he was able to do, that God was able to do exactly that as he had promised. Many people say, I would love to have what Abraham had. What did he have? He had the covenant with God. He entered into covenant with God. The Bible says that to have what Abraham had, we need to do what Abraham did. Abraham wasn't trying to believe God. He had immersed himself in God's word until that word was more real to him than his external circumstances. And that's what needs to happen. That is how you appropriate God's covenant promises. I want to get into three things quickly, three promises. There are many more, but for the sake of time, let's just get into three main categories. Number one is perpetual victory. Bear in mind that when God spoke to Joshua, from the book of Joshua chapter 1, we read this literally from verse 1. God never said to Joshua that your time leading the people of Israel will consist of many ups and many downs, many victories and many defeats. He also did not say that your time leading the Israelite will be marked by many defeats, but just some defeats. No. What did God say? He very clearly said from verse 6 to verse 8 that when you meditate upon the word of God day and night, when you speak the word and when you put the word of God into action, that he will make your way what? Prosperous. And that you will have good success. There is not one word spoken of defeat. God does not even hint to the idea that they might ever suffer defeat. Upon hearing that, Joshua would have said to himself and would have spoken to the people of Israel that with God, all things are possible. That with God, he will give us the victory. No matter the odds, no matter the challenge, no matter the size of the army, no matter the size of the giants, that God is greater. That defeat is never an option. Defeat should not even be a word in the vocabulary of God's people. You say, well, is it possible to have perpetual victory? Absolutely. People are very quick to then point out, well, after the supernatural victory that they had enjoyed over Jericho, remember the walls of Jericho came crumbling down. That was supernatural. That God was with them. Everyone could very clearly see that God was with them. And then in Joshua chapter 7, we read about a skirmish. 3,000 Israelites go and they are about to fight the people of Ai or Ai. And what happens? They lose 36 men. And the others had to rush back. Many more wounded. The others had to rush back to the Israelite camp. They told Joshua what had happened. What did he do? He fell onto the ground. He tore his clothes. He fell on his face before the Ark of the Covenant, crying before God, saying, Lord, if the enemy is going to hear about this humiliating defeat, what is stopping them from rising up against us and wiping us from the face of the earth? So he is crying. The elders join in, putting ash upon their heads, tearing their clothes, also now on the ground, crying in the presence of God. Now you would think that God would be moved by their action. But that's not what we read. In essence, God rebukes them. Joshua in particular. Joshua 7, verse 10 to 11. But the Lord said to Joshua, get up! Exclamation mark. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. You see, what had happened was Joshua said no one was going to be allowed to take any of the spoils of war from Jericho. But there was one person by the name of Achan who decided to take some of the spoils of war and he hid it in his tent. And because of sin of one man in the camp of the Israelites, they had suffered this defeat. Now I want you to understand that in all of the book of Joshua, there is only one mention of defeat, only one mention of loss of life, and that has to do with the humiliating defeat at Ai. And why? because of sin, because of disobedience. This is why Deuteronomy 28 starts from verse 1. If you will fully obey the voice of the Lord your God, you will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and never beneath. You will be blessed in the city. You will be blessed in the field. You will be blessed going in and blessed coming out. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. The flip side that is attributed to disobedience, which is sin, is quite the contrary. And you can read that in Deuteronomy 28. Number two, divine health. Number one is perpetual victory. Number two, divine health. And on this subject, I have a question. Why would we entertain sickness and disease when Jesus gave us authority to heal every kind of sickness and disease? Jesus said in Luke 10 and in Matthew 10 that all authority He has given us over all the power of the enemy. The enemy is not over your head. The enemy is under your feet. Sickness and disease will not have the final say, does not have the final authority over your life. Right there where you are, if you know of anyone who is sick, if you yourself are plagued with sickness, disease, or illness, right now in the name of Jesus, I curse that sickness, I curse that disease, I curse that illness in the name of Jesus. Whatever name it goes by, we declare there is a name that is above every other sickness, every disease, every illness, and we tell it, go now in the name of Jesus and never ever return. Be set free. Be made whole. Be delivered. Be set free. Be healed in Jesus' name. The Bible declares in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that by His stripes we have been healed. By His stripes, by His wounds, we have been healed. Not could be, not should be, not will be, but you have been healed. Brother Kenneth Copeland recently again said this. He said that we are not supposed to be people who are sick, trusting the Lord for our healing. We have been healed. We have been set free, and we need to push back the enemy wanting to place sickness and disease upon us. In a moment, we're going to go to the Lord's table. We're going to partake of the bread and we're going to partake of the cup, and it's going to be so powerful. And I want you already to get your communion elements ready. In a moment, we're going to go. You see, Moses lived under an inferior covenant compared to ours. This is according to 2 Corinthians. Jesus said that John the Baptist is greater than Moses, but goes on to say that the least New Testament saint is greater than John. The Bible says that when Moses died, he was still strong and he did not suffer any loss of his eyesight at the age of 120. If he had divine health and walked in divine health because of an inferior covenant, how much more can we not today walk in divine health because of Jesus, who became our high priest, who gave us and established for us a better covenant based on better promises. Number three is divine wealth. Poverty is not your portion. The Bible says that Jesus became poor so that you might become rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of God is what empowers you to prosper, resulting in everything that you touch to produce and to succeed. Deuteronomy 8 and then Deuteronomy 15 says this, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth or to produce wealth. Why? So that He may establish His covenant. Deuteronomy 15, verse 10. The Lord your God will bless you in all the works and in all to which you put your hand. That is what is meant by you walking, living in God's covenant promises. Did he not say that if you are in covenant with him, he will open up the windows of heaven, the floodgates of heaven, and pour out for you such a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. He goes on to say that the devourer is rebuked in Jesus' name. You can walk in perpetual victory. You can walk in divine health and divine wealth, because that's your portion as an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ when you live in covenant with Him. Sokorosata. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, make us more aware of your covenant promises. I pray that from today, even now as we go to the Lord's table, that we will enter into the covenant promises of God. I pray now that there will be the manifestation of God's covenant promises in and through your life, so that even when your enemies look upon you, that they will not be denying the fact that you are blessed, in Jesus' name. Amen.